It's just my allergy shit, dude. It's so gross. All right, hold on. Let me play the intro real quick. Wait, nope. That's...
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Wait. Wait a minute here. I gotta... Fuck, dude. I always fuck up. Share screen. Advanced. Blah, blah. Music and sound only. Share. Here we go.
Hey.
Hold on. Ready?
Yeah.
What's up, Butch Escobar? Shit.
It's the Butch Escobar Show.
The Butch Escobar Show. It's the Butch Escobar Show. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Butch Escobar. I hate when I do that. I don't know.
SoundCloud rapper.
Dude, beginning of every video I ever make, I'm all, what's up, everybody? It's your boy. Oh, why'd I do that? And it's like, I always fucking, I don't know what else to say. Like, hi. It's your boy, Butch.
Well, I would assume you're well-known in the Bay Area. Yeah. So
I'm okay in the Bay Area. I think I'm well-known in the comedy scene and amongst comedy aficionados that live in the Bay Area.
Good enough.
But I'm getting my wings out there, spreading a little bit. You know, I did that Felipe podcast, so that got me a little bit of love.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Felipe. If he's listening.
Shout out to Butch, man. Yeah, he said I could do it again, so I'm hoping I get to go out.
Wait.
Yeah, me neither.
Like six other guys.
Damn. I got to think of an excuse to get up there and go, like, because he said, let me know when you have a show so you can promote it. I'm like, damn, I wasn't gonna do any more shows. All right. No, I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have AJ Aguayo, Matt Boer, Pacific Roots. You guys are my favorite reggae band that's alive.
Yeah, thank you, man.
No, you guys are. You're my favorite reggae band. I actually listen to you when I'm not hanging out with you. That's how you know I like your music.
Right.
Just to give everybody a little background here, the dude on the left is my brother-in-law, our former brother. I don't know how to explain it. Get along still. Yeah. Like his sister is my son's mother, is Bobby's mom. So that's Bobby's uncle. Because here's the thing, man. I think this is fucking really cool. Got to take, because you were like a little kid, you were like Bobby's, you were younger than Bobby when I first met you.
Same
you were
size, seven.
I met you on your seventh birthday. I bought you an Incredible Hulk action figure.
Yes, sir.
And so I met you. We got on really good. You're like my little brother. And when it came time for you to get into music and you wanted to go to all these clubs and see these bands, I was like, fuck yeah, I'll go with you, bro. Yeah. And so we would go, and I remember taking you to the Catalyst to go see.
It was Tiger Army.
Tiger Army.
Yeah.
And we had a blast, dude. We had a blast. But what was cool was you invited me to your show like years later,
like Patty's Day,
like a year ago, right?
Was that the Catalyst?
It was in the atrium.
Yeah, it was the atrium.
It was at the Catalyst, dude. And you were like, hey, come see me at the Catalyst.
Somebody died out front that night. There was an ambulance when we were talking.
You know what? I've actually
passed out. I think
I've actually had that happen at one of my shows. So
perfect.
But
same setting.
Yeah. So I went to go see you guys. I took my girl. And I was like, you know, let's go see these kids play. You know? And I love reggae music. My girl's big time reggae music fan. She's a total hippie chick. So she goes to reggae on the river. She does all that fucking weird fucking dreadlock people type shit. You know what I mean? But we show up and I'm thinking like, cool. I'm just going to, no matter what, I know you're good because I've seen you play. But I didn't think I would be crazy into it. Oh, and I had so much fucking fun. It's one of the best shows I ever went to. You guys fucking rocked the fucking night, bro. You guys, dude, you guys turned that place upside down. It was fucking dope. Great show.
And I'm glad you're able to come. Dude, we were outside talking. I remember some chick was like sitting there and she was like, I saw your video. You flipped this guy off on the bridge.
Yeah, no. She walked by and she goes, I can't roll my window down, bro. I can't beat with you. That was, bro, that was one of the best nights of my life, like, ever, because, like, it was when I found out that I was what we call Santa Cruz famous.
Yeah.
Because people kept, like, walking up to me after, like, at your show or outside, and they're like, hey, you're Butch Escobar. Oh, man, I see your comedy. I was like, dude, I'm not even here for me, and this is rad. And, like, but, yeah, I never had anybody shout out or, like, walk by shout out, like, what am I doing, something for my video.
Right?
So it was a great night. That was also because, you know what? I love AJ's story. I think this is that night where you were telling me about it that night.
Yeah.
That you guys got on a tour. You guys got on a tour with what's the name?
Expendables.
The Expendables. Right. And I'm just stoned right now. Because I love that band. And that's how, like my girl introduced me to that band. And they're great. And you got a tour, and you got offered the tour, but you were working, right, AJ? You had a job that you had to go to.
Yeah, I had just, well, before that, I mean, I was bouncing from job to job, just trying to make the music work, you know? And, I know, knowing I had a car payment, insurance, and, you know, I was living at my uncle's at the time, so I'd do rent. So, I mean, unemployment can only, you know, you can only go so far until you need to, like, okay, I got to stop because I got to get something going.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, dude, I was like a month and a half in at the new job. It felt like forever. It was overnight. So that's why. But I got offered, it was a tour for, well, it was a little mini tour, I'd say, 3 dates, you know.
Like a run?
Little weekend warrior one, you know what I mean? So,
right.
I was like, dude, like, you know, and I was thinking about it. It's like, should I go play with this band that I looked up to that made me start a reggae band that I'm in today, or do I just say, you know what, no, pass up the lifetime or a great opportunity that happens only, like, you know, a couple times in your life,
right?
And just, you know, regret it. And I knew I couldn't live with myself if I would have not, you know, because I was the only one. People, they're waiting on it. Like, we need your, like, okay in order to
do, right,
it.
So,
you know, are you doing it or not?
Yes. Yeah, so I did it. Yeah. Yeah. So I said, yeah, man. I said, you know what? Let's do it. I told my boss, and he was super understanding. But, you know, he's got a business to run. He said, well, you know, you just got to put in your 2 weeks. So he let me put in my 2 weeks, and
wild.
And I'm able to go back, actually. But I am working at a weed farm now. But yeah, I quit my job. I only had for a month and a half.
That's
to only go on there to play 3 shows. Only 3 shows. They were like 30 minutes.
It was 30 minute sets.
But yeah. I mean, you know, sure. And I was thinking about, yeah, man, fuck, like, how am I going to do this? But, you know, I wasn't worried about that. I worried about it when I got back, but it was
right.
Big fucking choice I had to make.
I admire you for it. And I think that was the greatest thing you could have done. The greatest move, because right. it tells you and yourself that you're willing to take those risks, you know, and some, you know, maybe it paid off, maybe it didn't, I don't know. I remember getting casted for a huge role in a play. They were doing, The Big Lebowski live at like the Matreon Theater. And I got casted as the role of what's the dude that plays the over the line Smokey, that guy.
You know what's fucked up is I've never seen.
Okay, well, I got casted for that role, and it was a big role, and it was actually really good money. It would have paid me, but I was a new comic. I was only like 2 or 3 years in, and I got offered my first road gig.
Okay,
and it would have.
Nice.
It would have conflicted with the schedule, with the rehearsal schedule for the Big Lebowski.
Oh shit.
And so I said, and as much as that's a great gig for a theater person, for an actor, I was like, you know what? I can't turn this down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to turn this down. I can't miss going on the road. And even though the road gig was only going to pay me $100, I think I was going to make like a few thousand off of the theater gig.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I'll find money, but I need the road experience. You know, I need to get out there. I need to make these small sacrifices in order to get what I want.
Absolutely.
And so when I heard that story, like, I was like, man, that's, dude, that's commitment to what you love doing. And it shows, because you guys, I watch you guys play. I listen to your music. It shows how much you guys love what you do. I've been watching music. I used to run a bar that had live music all the time. And I've been watching live.
Was it?
The Caravan.
Oh, Caravan Lounge, dude. I remember dude, I used to tell so about many great bands I've played there. Dude, I've,
Yeah. Well, I watched a lot of those come through. I helped book a lot of those. But there were only one band from there that I saw that I thought would go off to be something else and was great. And then you guys, you know, are another band that I feel that way about, you know? And so, you know, I love watching you guys. How are things for you guys right now? How is this quarantine affecting Pacific Roots?
At first, we you know what I mean? Everything going on, everything's serious. You know what I mean? We didn't know what's going on. We're in a pandemic. You know what I mean? So we tried to do the recording here. I'll send you something. I record my part. You send this. It didn't work. And now, it just brings back to recently. Now the past few practices, we've actually been writing new material. So it seems like we work better together, obviously.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it energy flows with more energy. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I can be sitting at home trying to write something or, you know what I mean? Or think about a part. But when you're with everybody, it comes out different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So we try, you know what I mean? And most of those songs we've been, you know what I mean? We try to tackle down, but just being together is just, it's a big vibe. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing, man, is like, you know, I feel like there's something to the human connection.
Yeah.
And and when you're around each other and you're vibing, you know, I write with a friend of mine and it's tough to sit over the phone and try to figure things out, you know? Yeah. And so now we go sit in a fucking park like a couple of goobers and sit across from each other, six feet apart.
For those listening.
Yeah, and we try to, like, you know, figure it out. We try to hash it out from there.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been a band? How long have you guys been together?
We've been together. Well, the band started in the fall of 2013, so August.
Okay.
And it's been it's been going since, and the new lineup's been since. It's been already over a year now. So
yeah, I joined on Thanksgiving, I believe, is when you called.
Yeah, I called him on Thanksgiving. I was drunk.
Yeah, I was too.
And I said, dude, I'm like, all right, they're ready. They're ready for you. And then he said, oh, let's go. So I was like, oh, fuck it, okay. And I was like, all right. He goes, when's practice? I said, tomorrow. He said, I'm out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were blasted. I was messing with him. He's like, when's practice?
Hopefully not at 9 a.m.
Yeah, no. So he showed up that, I think it was that, yeah. He showed up the Tuesday, 5 o'clock, and he knew all the material already. So Boer, he...
Well, and these guys, you know what I mean? I was already, you know what I mean, playing along to these guys' music before I even joined.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was jamming along.
You were a fan of theirs before?
Before a friend. I was a fan before a friend. And now I'm...
Same with me and his band, Pacific Grown. You know, I was huge. I fucked with them heavy. And, you know, there was an opportunity to get him to join. I took it. And,
oh, yeah.
And then we got the full lineup now. So.
And you guys are fucking killing it, man.
Thanks, man. I mean, I want to say the same for... I mean, I know before this quarantine happened, you know, because Boer, he'd always talk about you guys. Like, hey, you know, he'd always talk about you. And just like, yeah, dude, my brother-in-law, Butch, is a comedian. And I was like, I've had people tell me before that they're fam or they know someone that's a comedian, and then they just bomb. You know?
So, right.
So then when we got to see you at the sports lounge.
The sports tavern.
Or the sports tavern.
Oh, the tavern. That was a wreck of a show.
No.
You dude, saved it.
You brought that,
You put it together, though. That You know what I mean? Like,
you.
Yeah.
I was talking to him outside, and he's like, yeah, it's supposed to be here. And it was like, Butch was just fed all kinds of wrong information that day.
Yeah. All kinds of wrong information. Yeah.
From the bay. He said, literally, from when I left my house to here, I had no clue what was happening.
What was going on?
I just knew there was a show tonight.
Yeah,
headlining, and I was like, oh dear.
So he was outside smoking a cigarette, and he's like, I still don't know what's going on. Homeboy wasn't even there. Yeah, so I saw you, and dude, automatically just, you just fucking, I mean, and it was a pretty, I don't know if it was just the comics before you that, like, kind of just trash, man, but they weren't laughing. I'm like, well, it's either a tough crowd or these guys.
They were fucking funny. Awful, bro. But I didn't know him enough. I don't know him enough.
You said that to them.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I ripped on one of them, bro. That was the thing. Was like,
I think one of them was your good friend, but you still let him have it. You got to do that, though. You know what I mean? You got to let him know. Like,
yeah. Funny. Well, the one that I liked was new, and he's usually pretty funny, but the other two were fucking garbage, bro.
But you saved that night, sir. You saved it, and thank you. Fell in love and became a fan, and I think you
riffed, that's great.
You riffed on me a couple times, and I was just like, okay, like, this guy, he just, you know, the crowd work was fucking insane too. So like, you
I think it was all crowd, wasn't it all crowd work? I think I did a lot. I remember having to shovel a lot of shit using crowd work.
Everybody just shifted. The energy just flew up as soon as the mic, and you said one thing, and it was just like, all right, everybody has your attention now.
That, you know, show, I mean? Yeah. When that happens, so this happens from time to time. I'll be honest, you two guys are the only reason why I stuck around, because I felt bad that, fuck that I drove 2 hours to get there. I felt bad that you guys got ready, came out of your house.
Oh yeah,
and came out, and we're kicking it, and we're looking forward to the show, because I was gonna tell that guy to fuck off, because I was like, dude, what did you do? And he did it to me twice. This is the first time.
Yeah,
and I had a few guys to just kind of bounce off of, and so I remember doing a lot of crowd work to dig myself out that night, but the worst one was we did it in the cellar. At the public house, what was it called? Public X?
The public house, XL public house.
XL public house.
Yep.
Okay. AKA John Steinbeck sex dungeon.
Yeah. That's, yeah. slash yeah. Homeless beater up. Yeah.
So I was driving out there. He goes, how much money do you want? When he asked me to do it. And I said, it's just to get me out of the house and back into Salinas, you're going to have to pay me this much money. And so he said, no problem. And I was like, that's crazy, bro. I can't believe you agreed to pay me that much. But so I'm driving out there. I'm on the phone. I'm like, hey, man, dude, I'm still leaving the Bay. Is there anybody that I could pick up to bring out there that you booked on the show? He goes, no, man, it's just me and you on the show. And I was like, wait a minute, bro. What do you mean it's just me and you on the show? And he goes, well, you wanted all that money, so I couldn't afford to pay anybody else. No. And I was like, that's not my problem. You know what I mean? You should have said, I can't afford that because I need to pay for someone else. Or, you know, just conveyed and communicated with me.
Promoters, you know what I mean?
So I was like, I was pissed, man. I was yelling at him. And I was like, you fucking eat shit every time you go up there. You expect me to go up there after? I was pissed, bro.
Was it James Scott or Richard Scott? What are we gonna name him? We're just gonna name him
who? El Gordo Mamon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows. He knows, bro. I don't hold no punches. I love that guy. Don't get me wrong.
He was funny.
I love that guy, and he's funny in his own way, and he's working it out.
Absolutely.
But he fucked up that night, and I had to scold him.
Oh, and, dude, what a scolding.
Yeah, so I ripped.
10 out of 10.
I ripped him, right? I ripped into him. I get there. He goes up. He doesn't do too bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking, like, there's no warm-up act. There's nobody in between.
Yeah.
And then this place is starting to get packed. And, like, so I just got up there, and I did the exact same thing. I ripped on him for, like, 10, 15 minutes. I ripped on his stupid-ass drunk friends for, like, 10 minutes. And then I just fucking just fuck that place up. And I love, you know what, man? I love Salinas. Salinas gets a bad rap. It's hard to do comedy in Salinas.
We're the only two people in the band from Salinas. We know how that is.
Yeah, we know how
it goes. Oh, yeah, dude. Like, it's so weird. Like, nobody wants to, like, the minute I go, hey, I got a show I'm going to do in Salinas, so you want to do it with me? They're like,
I'm good, get my bulletproof vest in the mail.
I'm good. Well, dude, we did that show at El Desquite back in the day. when we did that show,
bro, by my house.
Yeah, by your house,
Edwin San Juan.
Right.
And,
so
you had
George Perez.
George Perez was there. Edwin San Juan.
It was me, and then I think maybe Chris Thorne or somebody.
And then 2 weeks later, somebody got stabbed there.
Well, that was the thing, bro. Is stabbed. Yes.
Yeah, so, oh, 2 weeks later,
got stabbed. So the owner comes up to me. The place is packed. We packed out. It was all family. But we packed it out. It was like family and friends. And the owner comes up to me and he goes, hey man, I've never had this many people in my club.
Can you do security too?
And not had a fight. No. Oh. You know, and not had like a fight or crazy shit happening. Like, I got one more show next week or in 2 weeks, and then I'm gonna cancel that. If you want, bro, you could put back. Do whatever you want here.
Wait, they were going to cancel a show for you to have.
No, he was going to do one more show, and then he was not going to have music anymore after that.
Oh, okay.
Because it was too... Yeah, because all that Banda shit was fucking up his place.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he was like, dude, I'm sick of the violence. I'm sick of the shit. Dude.
I think that was the downfall of that place.
Well, that next week he had that band that he couldn't cancel them. He was just going to cancel everybody else.
Yeah.
And then that dude got stabbed in there, and then they shut that place down. And,
yeah.
That was the end of it, bro. Wow. Fucking RIP El Desquite. Fuck, dude. Right.
Yeah, that was a spot back in the day, too.
I also know that, Budge, have you ever performed at, back when it was on Cannery Row, was it Planet Gemini? Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of comedians used to go to because Planet Gemini, I believe, was like, it was sometimes it was DJ, but it was mainly comics.
We never went. One. I never performed.
That was on that was on Cannery Row.
I never performed at the Cannery Row. I went to go when I was still dating Matt's sister. We went to go see Bobby Slayton there.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I remember watching him play, and then it's really hot. Like, because what they would do is they would set up chairs all around the dance floor, and then the performance area was the dance floor. And this hot chick gets up to go to the bathroom, and Bobby Slayton picks up her chair and he starts smelling the seat. And like,
herb shit. Fuck yeah.
And the good old days, bro. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Nah, you'd get me too'd and
yeah, you'll get me too'd for
cancel
that.
Cancel culture would sniff you out. You know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah. And shit, someone might see this and fucking put it on Twitter. Just like this is like
TikTok.
Yeah. They'll do it. It'll be like when Hannibal Buress took down fucking Cosby on accident.
Oh,
dude. But I didn't get to perform there. But I got to do Planet Gemini when it came up at the other place.
Oh, that's where it's at. Well, across it's the fairgrounds, right? Now.
Yeah, right across the and then it ran it good for a little while. The guys who run that are a little weird. They're
it's
a little
under new.
It's under new. Ever since then, it's been like three different.
Shout out, Jaime. It's Silva. It's Silva's nightclub now.
Yeah. Okay, it's Silva's. Oh, do you guys work that club now?
He wants us to work that club. He's been trying to get us to do like a live stream there. So I'm actually in the talks with him about doing that.
That's a good idea, bro.
But he's actually really dope, man. He's always like, yeah, man, if you guys ever know people. So he pretty much, you know, whether it's putting on.
We got to get that 420 show next year. Going.
Oh yeah, we got to do that 420 show.
If it's not canceled.
Comedy, night, comedy, reggae, just, you know what I mean?
I doubt that by April we'll still be in our homes.
I hope not.
If this disease continues past April, we do not find a vaccine.
We should all just.
There'll be like a civil war, and then there'll be like shit going down. We'll be performing in camps. That's what we'll be doing.
We're actually doing that in like next week.
Oh, we kind of. I think we're doing that. We're performing at a campsite in like 2 weeks. Next week.
No shit.
Because it's an outdoor event. So
right on. So you guys are still getting work right now.
Well, yes, and that's the only work we got for the rest of the year, and nothing next year. Yeah. So we did the last
Reggae Rise Up Vegas.
We were supposed to do Reggae Rise Up Vegas in October. It hasn't been canceled yet. It got rescheduled, but not canceled.
In November.
Yeah, but that's in Las Vegas. So
they're gonna do it. They'll do it. Vegas doesn't give a fuck, bro.
Well, I don't know. Depending on what their ordinance is, I hope so.
I hope so. It's been rescheduled. So and
but yeah, man, we're getting work here and there, you know. But it's mainly it's just been like live streams. Like I know a lot of comics now are doing the Zoom shows.
Yeah.
Whether it's like just improv or it's just you know if it's just like a live podcast that you could just tune into or if it's just you know if it's comedy. But that's what we're doing, you know, it's the same shit we're doing. We're just performing and it's weird not having people, but you know what? Because the people, you know, I look at people to see if they're feeling, it, it kind of makes me play a little bit better.
Right.
You know? So I need,
you guys actually go off crowd reaction too. It's not like you're just jamming and not giving a fuck what's happening out there.
We're jamming because we miss it.
Right.
And we love it, you know? So I think that is what, you know, like the first live stream we ever did, that's what we just did. But right. how's that smell?
Amazing. My girl, you know what, man? My girl went on a 6-day trip to go see her kid up north in Washington. And I have separation anxiety like a fucking dog left in the house. And so she was like, she works at a weed place. She works at a dispensary. And so she was like, she brought me that and a vape cart. And she was like, I will miss you. Have fun with these.
Yeah. Have you used a stizzy yet? Did these stizzies? Or
no. What is that?
It's like damn near a jewel. It's got pods on it. And then you just fucking just stuck on. Or you can just do race on North Bay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, these things are wild, though.
That's
yeah,
fucking dope, stizzy. Dude.
Yeah, so they're pretty strong in THC, too.
Where's my other one, man?
Those, yeah, human crowd reaction. Yeah, man, crowd reaction, it you know, because... There's moments where you break and you get everybody to participate and stuff, and you can't do that. It's just kind of like, it kind of felt like rehearsal, honestly.
The one thing that was dope, though, we did do two nights in Felton.
Yes.
That's in the Felton Music Hall. And right now, it was kind of dope the way they did that. It was, I think a lot of venues could actually thrive off the way that they were doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what it was, you know, the ticket was a certain, like $25, but included dinner. And the whole venue were social distanced, like with the tables. You know what I mean?
It was seated
dinners.
Right.
And we were playing an acoustic set.
And I thought about it and I was thinking, I'm like, this is a stand-up setup. This is exactly what, I mean, but with less tables, but this is exactly what you'd go to a comedy club.
Yeah.
And this is what you see. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, same thing at, what's that?
There wasn't a 2-drink minimum though, so that
no 2-drink minimum.
Fucking call. But,
I was thinking about it. I'm like, fuck, man, if Butch was here, have him do like 15 minutes real quick, and just we'll go on after him. And like,
hell yeah,
you know what I mean. But yeah. We were already there, you know. But the setup right. to actually see it, I looked at it and I'm like, dude, this is a fuck. Like, who's a comic? Who's coming up? Like, someone's got to come up right now. Yeah. Like, who?
Well. Did you see?
It was nuts. It was 6 feet apart, each table. There was tables of two, tables of four.
And one table.
And then tables by themselves, but that's, you know.
Did you see what the post that I posted about Laughs Unlimited up in Sacramento? They were doing a silent comedy
thing. I did see that with the headphones.
With the silent disco headphones. Wild. So you know what, AJ, you know what silent disco is?
I've seen, it's weird. It's very weird being there. If you don't have headphones on, you see
there's nothing more entertaining than watching silent disco assholes do silent disco. Like, I've been
at the Catalyst upstairs for the music festival, Santa Cruz Music Festival, when they were doing that. And then they had comics on too. They did that shit. It was so weird.
So the first time I ever seen this was at Lake Merritt in Oakland. And I'm hanging out and you look over across the field and you see all these white people dancing. And they're just like, and like, they're fucking just.
Wasn't me.
And they're not saying nothing. They're like.
Yep, that's exactly.
And they got these headphones on that are like sparkly. And I go, what the fuck is going on? And we finally went over there and I hit up somebody and they're like, it's a silent disco. And they put the headphones on and it was like some god awful, like fucking, like. Jiminy, like fucking dubstep trap, fucking whatever the fuck, dude. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm out, you know? And I thought it was, I seen it at the beach. I'm like, these crazy white people. But.
Not all white people are like that.
No, I know. I understand that. Very white people though, bro.
Damn near a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Majority of them.
These fucking Berkeley fucks, dude. Anyway, I saw. So anyway, what Jenny at Laughs Unlimited did, shout out to them, is they did the silent They 6 feet apart, tables outside. They cordoned off the front of the building into the street. I'm sure they got permission. And then everybody, even the comic, was wearing headphones, and they just did a silent comedy show. And like, you just, it, like in the video, it's like someone going, and then you hear everybody go, ah, and it's fucking hilarious, but it works. It's got to work. That's right.
Wild though.
Yeah, it's wild. So I think we're finding new ways to forge
good
into entertainment.
When it comes back. You know what I mean? Like once everything's back to normal, whenever, who knows?
Do you think it'll come back to normal? Or do you think things will always be different now as far as entertainment goes, as far as your business goes?
I think it's going to be, if everything comes back, everything opens up, I think we're going to be just like how, you know, how like Japan and China are, how, you know, how they were always wearing masks no matter what.
Right.
I feel like some people are going to stick to that.
Right.
And I think the majority of people just want to go out.
Or more festivals and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it would be back to normal, but we would see some places, even maybe some businesses with a requirement. You know, or maybe they charge you extra if you don't. I don't know. That's kind of like
Reggae on the River is still going down, right? I saw an advertisement for it, and I was like, well, I guess because it's outside, it's going
to
work.
See, that's what, I don't know, but it's illegal to be outside on a beach.
Like, well, the thing is, now you got to have a face mask if you're in public. So it's, you know, and it's like, I have mine in my pocket, but I forgot to put it on when I was walking here, and I was like, shit, dude, I don't have my
face. Do you guys have people in Salinas yelling at you for not wearing your mask outside?
Everybody's wearing a mask out here.
See, that's the thing is, like, here's the thing, man. I am against anti-maskers, okay?
Yeah, I am,
like,
too.
Like, I think the people going, like, fuck that, I'm not going to lose my rights, and fucking, you put on a mask, and next thing you know, you're going to have a leash. You know, shit like that. It's like, go fuck yourself, okay? Yeah.
Fuck yourself.
Hey, well, that leash better choke me, is what I'm saying.
But calm down, bro. We're not there yet. Yeah. But, man, you just
took me. I'm a freak, bro.
We do way other place right now.
Let's go to the XL Public House.
I eat ass, dude, so it's all good.
So, we all do, bro. Just some of us don't admit it. Anyway, look, here's the thing. I don't think if you're walking by yourself down the street, because before they were making us wear masks in public here, you know, it's Berkeley, so everybody kind of respects each other here.
Yeah.
And as you're walking down the street, you know, like, people will acknowledge and someone will make the agreement to walk around. And then the other one gets to walk on the sidewalk. And then actually Berkeley shut down a quarter of its streets so you could just walk down the streets without having to worry about getting run over, which I think is great. And that was the thing, was I didn't wear my mask. Now people are having to wear their mask. And, you know, me and Bob go for walks every day. We take a little walk around the block. We don't wear a mask because we see two or three people on the walk.
Yeah.
But those two or three people give me looks like I'm fucking...
Yeah,
like,
what? But it's not like you're walking up to them. Like, what are you, across the street? Like, you know what I mean? Down the
Dude, way. I get like, the fuck out of the way. I don't know what they got. Saying. I don't want to catch it.
I was in Dixon. I went to go visit Rob, and I was at Safeway, and I thought most places, if you don't have a mask, you can't shop there. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And people can argue and say what, but at the store can deny you service for it.
The store can, yes.
Yeah, but there was a family of like four in there, and none of them had masks on. When I was going to put my stuff on the belt, the family in front of me had no mask on.
I think employees are afraid to have that moment.
Get into it.
They're not getting paid enough.
They don't want to have that Karen moment, bro.
Yeah.
You know what? I just read somewhere that Walmart is gonna maybe not. I think they're trying to not have their shoppers. They're making them decide whether they want to wear one or not, just so their employees don't get hassled. And it's like, all right, well, that's fine. But just know that if you do that, you know, whether some of us believe it, it's out there or not, you know, it might happen.
Wear
your mask. Like, I mean, if I see people without them, I just mind my business, dude.
Even when I shop places,
I mind my business.
Cashiers don't have one on.
Right. I have mine on. I mind my business. If someone doesn't have it, it means, hey, look, I'm not going to, A, I have no business getting close to anybody out in public if I'm by myself.
Right.
And B, it's, you know, sucks for them, you know, and hopefully they don't catch anything, you know. But
I'll tell you what the problem, why, because I mind my business too. And the reason why I mind my business, because if I go, hey, bro, do us all a favor, wear your fucking mask. That guy's going to be, and even if I'm like, hey, buddy, hold on. Hey, bud. wear your mask because we don't want to get sick, you know? And then he goes, hey, go fuck your mother. Then I'm going to punch that motherfucker in the face.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to be mad at me. And it's like, you know, so it's not my job. It's Walmart's job to fucking make sure it's the store's job. It's the
all 900 employees. You can figure somebody to tell you to wear.
But you know what? If I worked there, and this is just me personally, I mean, it could go on the record. I don't feel like I'm getting paid enough to tell these guys to put their mask on and to get in a verbal.
But you know whose job it is? You know whose job it is? That fucking fat jerk with a fucking security outfit standing in front.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fucking playing on his cell phone. Like so many times I walk by security guards and I'm like, look, bro, this is your time to shine, homie. You know what I mean? You've been yelling at
kids. That's why you got this job.
Hey, bro, you've been yelling at kids on skateboards for decades. Now here's a legitimate reason to exude your power. You know what I mean? Get up there. Oh, look at you guys. Jesus Christ, dude. I'm just having a beer. It's still daylight out.
Hey, man, I'm depressed. It's quarantine. Leave me alone, all right?
It's quarantine.
Hey, speaking of which, check this out, man. You know, like the whole mask thing, right? So we were playing our show out in Dalton, and there was a group of people of elderly ladies, you know, that were dancing, and they didn't, like, have masks on. And I kind of – that made me uncomfortable on stage because the musicians – you're not.
I don't know if they're breathing heavy.
Well, also they're like, dude, they're fucking.
Hey, are you calling me?
They're like, they're dancing, they're breathing heavy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, all that shit coming out of your fucking skin.
Yeah, pipe. And it makes you think now. Skinhole, like whatever. In the day, you know what I mean? And that's the thing about festivals now and stuff. It's like, do you think they're gonna let that many people back that close to each other now?
That's
you
why I was.
I think what I think is, I think they're gonna have them say, you know, if they're gonna make a post, because everybody's got a post. Yeah, no. The saying is, if you show up to Reggae Rise Up by showing up and not wearing, choosing to wear or not wear a mask, we are not responsible for you. Yeah, it's a waiver. Yeah, it's pretty much saying if you go, you're signing a waiver. So anybody that's in attendance can say, you know, and I think that's how it might work for later on in the future is, you know what, you can go out, but, you know, wherever you got it from is not responsible for you getting it. It's you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like maybe that's
how. Yeah, but that's the problem, though, is like if you're breathing that shit out.
Yeah.
Like it's your output, not your intake. You know, that's why I say it's not really like you. I would, if it were me, I'd go, you put up a sign that says, if you don't wear a mask, you can't fucking come in here. Because the thing is that, and like, man, here's the thing is like, you're not, no one's asking you to wear like a fucking N9, like super surgical, like, dude, there's those like little like stretch things and you can put them on your head. Like, I don't know. You guys could use them as merch. I'm getting some for merch. Like I have these ones right here. These are just pure cloth.
I bought one from you.
Oh yeah. You guys have those. Yeah. So like, that's the thing is like, I could.
Yeah,
that one's going back in the mail. Somebody else, but anyway.
Oh, actually, you're just in my car, by the way.
You could breathe through those. Those are not going to protect you from smoke inhalation. They're not going to. They're like, the only thing it does, and it's not even supposed to protect you from disease coming in your mouth.
It just gets you in the store.
It keeps you. for real. It keeps you from going from coughing without using your hand. Yeah. It keeps you from fucking spitting and fuck. Because when we talk, like I wash this thing down every time I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes it just stinks, and I'm like, whose fucking breath is that? Oh, it's mine. I'm the only one who uses it. But like your output is giving off a lot, and people are breathing that in.
Yeah, I remember. Continue. No.
No. Go ahead.
So I remember being at I was at Walmart. And I remember I was looking at some stupid – I was stoned too. I was probably looking at Top Ramen or something. And there was a lady in the deli aisle, and she was in like one of those little moped carts. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there was just croissants in there.
Right.
And she was sitting there. She was looking at the deli, and I remember she coughs, and it was a loud cough. And I remember the lady – I just heard, whoa. And the lady next to her was like stepping back, and she was like, I have a smoker's cough. Like, I was like, I don't know if that's better or worse or like,
it don't matter.
But wait a minute, did she cover don't, her? Did she cover her
she
mouth?
She probably coughed all over the bologna.
Probably
all over the bologna and
just at least it was
that's
bologna.
Why I don't.
I love bologna too, though.
So I'm not buying anything out of a package right now.
Yeah.
like, yeah. I mean, as far as like you know, to bring it back to entertainment, I feel like it. You know, if it when things open up, people will still be out in masks. You know, and that's fine. That's on them. But you know, I think that's just what it's going to be.
There'll probably be a waiver.
It'll be yeah. It'll
you
be
know what you're
it'll be a waiver for sure, dude. Yeah.
Something like that. And I've been thinking about it, but because at some point, you know,
or maybe not,
economy's got to thrive. You know, it's, right. You know, so. But anyway, yeah.
Are you guys both?
Oh cheers! Oh yeah, I just took it without me. Hold on, sorry. Cheers, Butch. He took it without me.
Cheers. It's all good. So you guys still got your regular jobs? You're working at a weed farm?
Yes, and I am blessed. New Leaf Family Farms. Shout out to those guys.
Throw it out there, man.
I told them about you, and they want to next time if we ever meet up, they want to send a care package. And they're huge fans of Felipe Esparza, and I referenced them that you were on his podcast, so I'm pretty sure they listened to it by now.
Oh, dope!
They want to send you a weed package. New Leaf Family Farms. They want to send you a weed package. Yeah,
dude. I'll tell you one thing, bro. I shouldn't even put this out there because then it's gonna just cause all kinds of problems.
Well, then
that's why we were doing this podcast. Yeah,
sometimes I get weed. Sometimes I get weed instead of pay, and it's almost just as acceptable. Like, there's a guy at the – you guys ever play the Mateel Center in Redway?
We've never played up in the Bay Area.
Okay. This is up north.
Besides
this is,
Hometown Bowl in South
like,
San Francisco.
This is like 6 hours north by Crescent City.
Right.
And they got there's a little hippie commune called the Mateel Center. Now, they pay pretty proper anyway with money, but the guy will ask you, I can give you this much money, you know, or I can give you this much money and some weed, you know, like that's your choice. And I'm always like, give me the free weed, motherfucker. Like, I'm gonna spend money on that shit anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it would be like, I'll give you $400, but I'll give you $300 an ounce. You know? Yeah,
take it all day.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, dude, and like,
yeah,
anytime I get free weed, I'm like, dude, you're the greatest human being on the planet.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't like when, like, I've had people try to give me free merch or free drinks or. You know, or like, hey, I had one time I fought a guy. Like, I told that story on the Felipe Esparza show where that guy gave me that free room. I almost had to fight that guy. And
because you were at a strip club? You performed at?
We performed at an abandoned
steakhouse.
Okay.
I heard that story. We were talking to DNA about it, right? On your podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Of course.
And so it was a pimp who bought an abandoned rib train and was trying to make a legitimate business out of it. And he took his hose, and instead of making them work on the street, he had him working in the kitchen. And you go, oh, that's a sweet dude, right? Like, he stopped. Fuck no, dude. Because first of all, here's the thing, man.
So he wasn't Captain Save-A-Ho. He was.
I'm not trying to shit on hoes. He was still treating him like shit. I'm not trying to shit on hoes.
Right.
Like, but they're the dumbest fucking
sex
people.
Sex work is. Like, I support sex work.
Some of them are the dumbest fucking people on the planet. Of course we support sex work, bro. Anyway, some of them are not the smartest people, okay?
Yeah.
And the some of them were all of his hoes. And he took off to go get my money and my 3 grams of blow that he told me he was going to get me for me. and the bar, it was past closing time in Texas. And I was just telling my girl this part of the story because I never tell this part. It was past closing time in Texas, and the bar was full of cowboys, right? All these fucking shit kickers. And the girls go, hey, it's past 3-4 in the morning, whatever. We're not supposed to be serving. And then the one looks at the other and she goes, we're not supposed to be selling them alcohol.
Oh.
But we could still give them alcohol.
Oh.
And so they just started giving beers away for tips.
Oh,
cool.
And the dude comes back in and he's fired up and he's huge, bro. He's bigger than me and he's buff. And he's like, what the fuck? Why the fuck are all these motherfuckers still in my fucking bar? And she goes, look, hey, chill. And she takes him into the kitchen and she goes, we're not selling them beers. We're giving it. And before she could say we're giving them or whatever, he fucking slapped the shit out of her.
Did you hear
it? Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I'll take this Coke. I'm gone. Bye.
Bye. Wait, speaking of payments for that night, though, didn't you say, you said something about he didn't have like the money to pay you, but he had a connection for a hotel. So he
got me the hotel.
Yeah, and then so how do you have the connection for the hotel but not have the money to, you know what I mean? Unless it's on his tab.
Well, okay, so the dude next door that ran the hotel,
that's true.
Look, bro, the guy probably had more coke than he had money, or he had more coke than he wanted to spend money, right. Or he told the fucking headliner to fuck off, not thinking the fucking feature was gonna roll up and be like, "Yo, dog, I don't give a fuck." You know what I mean? And George Perez is a formidable dude. Don't get me wrong.
I think he was on Joey Diaz's podcast.
Yeah, he's been on Joey Diaz a bunch of times, been on Rogan.
Yeah, he's funny.
So
he's been at El Desquite.
Yeah, been down El Desquite. But George is a little smaller than me.
Right.
And that was the thing, is he comes over and he goes, "Yo, bro, I got ripped off, dog. So that means you get ripped off." And I was like, okay, that's not how it works, but whatever. It's my first like time on the road. And then I go, why not just go fuck that guy? And he goes, dog, you seen how big he was? And in my mind, bro, and he's right. You know what? He's right. As an adult, as an older person who knows better now, he was right.
You should take have what you off and
dude, pick the do.
Yeah.
But I didn't care about my life at that time, and I was young. So I walk over and I go, hey, bro, I ain't going to fucking let you rip me off. Like, you're probably going to kill me. But we're going to have it out, and it's not going to be good. And part of me knew that he ran a business. He was trying to be legitimate. I didn't know about the whole thing until afterwards. But I was like, this guy's not really going to want to fight me.
Yeah.
And he was like, look, bro, the best I could do is I got 3 grams of blow at my homie's house waiting for me. I'll give you a hooker. And I'll get you a room.
That's what it was.
And so I said, you know what, bros? I haven't had no sleep, dude. You know, I haven't had no sleep, and I don't know where your girls have been. You know, like, as much as I'm a piece of shit, I'm not that much of a piece of shit. So I was like, you keep that hoe, bro, and just let me have the hotel room as long as it had an air conditioner. And this is how I know that it was a hookup for that dude. Because it had no TV.
It had no air conditioner.
When we got there, the dude goes, no, hey, no TV. No TV. And I was like, okay, bro, I got it, dude. He goes, just letting you know, there's no TV in there. And I'm like, it's cool, dude. I just wanted to sleep. I just wanted a room with air conditioning. It was 110 for 6 days while we were out there.
Damn it.
Sorry, we're trying to collaborate.
This mic here. There we go.
Calibrate
this mic. We're trying to collaborate with his mic.
Collab real quick. But anyway, yeah, dude. That I heard that story, and I think you were talking to. Sorry, you're just gonna see a big black.
That's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I was and I talked to one of my buddies about that. You know, and I was like, oh, if you think,
hey, push it back. Do me a favor, push it back a little. Further, because now when you talk, it crackles.
Oh, there we go. How about that? Is that better now?
It's our first time.
Yeah. That's all right.
We're not big podcast guys
lick it.
Here.
Lick it.
No, it's cool. Neither am I. There, perfect.
No,
all right.
But I'm holding it though.
Hold on.
What's going on with it? Why is it? Why?
There's just a lot of stuff. You know. There we go. We're using a napkin holder.
You know, every Mexican household has a napkin holder.
Yeah.
That's what we got right now.
And the TV on top of a TV.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever have that?
Honey Boy. So.
Yeah, we're actually at our
Honey Boy.
Honey Boy.
Shout out, Honey Boy.
Oh, it's
all his stuff.
Hold on.
Is it?
You guys talk.
Yo, can you hear us now?
Are we talking?
Oh, yeah. It's snapping while you guys are talking.
Still.
What'd you guys do to it, bro?
We didn't do much, I don't think. How about now?
Is it better?
Talk now. Say something.
Are we talking? We're talking now.
It's a little. It's fine. It's fine there.
It's our output.
It's, not, it's to a minimum.
It might be our output. Maybe.
I don't know. All right. I mean, if it's to a minimum, it should be fine.
It's to a minimum. You know what, dude? It's a new podcast.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't care. I don't care no matter what. But it's a new podcast. What do I give a fuck, bro? I'm over here smoking weed. I got this fucking thing behind me that's not real. You know.
How's everything? You know. Been with stand up. I mean, the only thing I can keep up with is, you know, I was just to
there you go.
There you go. The only thing I could can't do with that fucking background.
I mean, I just want to see it.
Dude, yeah, you should just move. Can you do this? Just do that one. Yeah.
No, the other way.
Damn.
It's always on his back.
Yeah.
See how he is?
Yep.
Yeah, that's for when I do the shows. So that they got my Venmo info. Someone's all put a cool background with your Venmo name on it. And so I put, listening to the podcast, people listening to the podcast, I put a background on that's got wood on a mattress meme. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. It's a huge gay black dude with a giant cock. But the cock is covered by me in the middle right here.
His shoulder.
Yeah, and like, shoulder. It's got my Venmo handle there. So. Push that back. So,
but yeah. So how's the? So the only thing I've been keeping up with, as far as comics, you know, trying to get the court. I mean, I know some, you know, picked up, you know, like a day job or like an overnight job, you know, and then I know some that, you know, they're doing you know, fucking their Zoom shows, you know.
Right.
So and I saw that you were doing those as well. And so during quarantine and all this stuff right now, and since shit's shut down, how is that working for you?
Here's the thing, and I think I've gone through this a couple times on the podcast, but I don't mind all repeating it because I think it needs to be stressed. The first week, I thought it was going to last a month, so I was like, fucking A. I get a break. I don't have to email nobody. I don't have to keep up with people.
Right.
I don't have to worry about who's getting on TV right now. Like,
because
part of my problem is I don't feel like I work enough. And so when I see things happening that I'm not in, I feel like I didn't work hard enough to get there.
Right.
And when I take a day off to be with my girl or to hang out with my kid, I feel guilty because I'm like, dude, I'm not working hard on my craft.
Yeah.
And, and so I never take any days off. I never take any time off. And here was a mandatory take time off. Right. And so for the first week, I was happy. Then I read this article about a Harvard study that said we weren't going to see live shows for like 2 years.
That's so scary.
And so it was like, I'm not going to lie, and it sounds fucked up, and I hope family people forgive me. But I took that just as hard as I took when I lost my mom or I lost, you know, like.
It's your living, bro. You make a living.
Been doing and working for.
It's not only my living, bro. It is my, it's my passion. And like being on that stage and killing and getting that crowd to come with you on that journey and that kinetic energy between so many human beings and yourself.
Yeah.
Is intense. It's amazing. There's nothing in the world like killing on stage.
Yeah, I know how that. I'm not a comic, you know, but.
Oh, but you guys, know. Yeah, definitely. You guys could relate.
We know when we have a good set, you know, when you just hear like some people, I've played shows where I've heard some of the crowd clap and it's cool, you know, but you know, and it's just like shit, like that kind of like, do they really not like us?
Yeah, but when they're into it.
When they're into it, oh my God. It just makes you wanna go over like 5 minutes on the next set and do one more song. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I missed, yeah, dude. I just
And that's
comedy, it's different too, right? Like you get like hot fives, like a 10-minute set. 15,
so that's the thing. It is different in the way that like it's all me.
Yeah.
And but I don't think it's different outside of like, you know, when you're killing and you know, when you're not.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like when you guys did that show that night that I was there, you guys killed it. The crowd was into it. Everybody was loving it. You know, like Matt got up and did that guitar solo that was out of this world. And everybody was like digging it, dude. And nice. Like, the thing is I think that's your version of when the crowd is nonstop laughing, there's like black people falling out of their chair, fucking, you know what I mean? Like fucking, like people are high-fiving each other and shit, dude. Like that's when you're fucking like.
We've had people pass out on like weed edibles or like they get too drunk and they got to get escorted out. And there's a big pile of puke on the floor. But, you know, I think that's
a good show, all in all.
Yeah,
that's a good show. And that's the thing. So I was to a point in my career where I was getting a really good reception from the crowd every time. Like it maybe every once in a while I would get like a good reception. But more times than not, I was AKA killing it, you know?
Yeah.
And I loved it. And then I got to a point where and I'm not trying to sound like a fucking, like, oh, I'm this good, because I don't think I was, but I did get to a point where I was like, oh, I'm just killing it. I fucking like say, I just did the same thing I did. So I started doing, a lot more interactive. That's where I saw you. That's when I saw you guys. And so only for the last 2 years, maybe have I been doing the interactive audience thing where it's not just me talking and you guys listening. It's all of us working together to make each other die. And that brought more joy to my heart. And so the thought of not ever being able to do that again breaks my heart. And so it dropped me into a depression so bad that I hadn't felt that way in a long time. It was the same thing as like when I broke up with my last girlfriend. It was traumatizing bad. And I went to my therapist, and I have the best therapist in the world. And she told me, she goes, look, I don't think, cause I said, comedy's dead. That was my own words. I said, comedy's dead. I don't know what to do. And I'm crying. And like, she goes, look, I don't think comedy's dead, but I will say this. If you're going to treat it like it's dead, then mourn it like it's a death. Go out there.
Accept
that it's dead. Nah, because this is what she said next. She said, accept that it's dead. And if it comes back, great. But accept that it's dead and go on with what you want to do next. Go on and reinvent yourself. This is the universe telling you to reinvent yourself. And so, I wouldn't have this podcast. I wouldn't be doing the videos that I'm doing. Fucking Felipe got Felipe and Julie were talking about me. I got the Felipe podcast. Like,
you needed that finger in the ass to wake you up and go, yo.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Who would have thought, though?
It's that surprise one, though. It's like that one you didn't know you needed, but you needed it. You're like, yeah. You know what? I kind of like that now.
The one you give your girl in the morning when you wake her up. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you awake?
My girl would fucking kick my ass if she was sleeping. She loves her sleep, bro.
I know, me too.
But actually, you know what? I've never tried it, so I don't know.
So who would have thought we would have taken live entertainment for granted ever?
I did. I can tell you right now, I fucking for sure did. I'm like, oh, fuck, right?
We'll play never did.
We'll play shows next year.
Live entertainment, you know, or as a whole. It's live entertainment.
You know? Like, we'll come back to this venue next year.
You would have taken it for granted. Like, oh, no, I'll see him. They'll come back next year. Or, oh, yeah, this is a dope show. Oh, no, I'll see him next time. Or,
you
know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
and
no.
Like, who knows?
And you know what, Bush? Can I be honest with you?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to go to shows and be like, I fucking see these guys every time they come through, or I see any reggae show that comes by because I fucking love reggae. Or like, even with punk shows, thrash, I go to all kinds of fucking shows, not just reggae, right? But they say they go because they just love the energy and the atmosphere. And now I know what the fuck they're talking about. To me, I'm a fucking musician. I don't know. You know, I just know to be there, and I observe the musicians, but I don't really pay attention to the crowd unless they're doing something.
That's what I was going to say. Do you guys know, like, do you guys ever on stage take in for a memory? Do you ever stop while you're doing what you're doing? Not necessarily stop.
But like
when I'm, so when I'm, when I'm talking, when I'm on stage doing comedy.
You're also thinking.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I have two peripheral.
Yeah.
It's like a peripheral thinking.
Yeah. And so there's times where that peripheral thinking will go, hey, dude, look at what they're doing. Like, I'll stop and breathe it in for a moment.
Yeah.
And do you guys ever do that? Have you ever done that?
I've done that.
It's amazing. Because you go, I can't believe. Like, in high school, no one would talk to me. Okay. I was gross. Girls wouldn't talk to me. Dudes would pick on me. I was a fucking nobody. When I got older, I was a security guard in a fucking mall. You know what I mean? And here I am
Hey, what about TJ Maxx?
Shout out TJ Maxx. I was a fucking dude. I was fucking jabbing up grannies for stealing panties.
I think he just tried to fist bump the computer.
I did.
You were gonna
fist bump. Nice. Let's do that. Let's do it.
Wow. Shout out TJ Maxx.
Oh, that messed up my thing.
I
hold ye in the palm of my hand.
Right, but no, Butch, you're totally right, dude. I've done the peripheral thinking before, and I'm like, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this? Like,
I'd
still be working my 9-to-5, but would I be happy sitting at home and just making my own music and trying to figure out who I could find to make an ideal band? Or, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying the band I'm in isn't ideal. It's great. Like, I'm having a lot of fun.
You guys are great.
The thing is, it's, you know, like, would I be miserable at home if I wasn't doing this? Like, what, it just gets me thinking, well, what could I do to get, you know, like, this reaction, you know? And I'm not necessarily seeking, like, you know, personal, like, attention, you know, but I just want to do something that makes people feel great. And we've had people comment on YouTube and people talk to us at shows and saying, like, yo, one of your songs is like, you know, it helps me through hard times and stuff. And it's just, you know, when people interact with you and then I get that stuff, it's like, I couldn't have done that by my fucking self. I couldn't have, you know, I mean, like, I love talking to my friends, you know, if they ever have anything going on. But, you know, the thing is, this is coming from other people. And you know, it hits, man, and it makes me appreciate what I do more, because, you know, if I know our music helps somebody get through a hard time,
people could be like, yo, I had a shitty day at work, and it's like, and I'm so glad I came out to your show, or I was having, you know what I mean, or anything. And it's like, you read these comments and stuff, and it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and it's in like, you don't know, you, oh, sorry, I'm talking,
shit. God damn it,
here's our napkin holder, hold on.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
hold, can you hold the mic between the two of you?
This thing's on a weird, like, kick drum microphone.
I'll tell you, it's still making that weird fucking noise. Maybe wiggle the connection a little bit.
If we could hold it, I mean, shit, I might as well give it a shot. Let's see. Give it the good old college try.
Because it's like, you can't hear that? Grumbly?
No.
Maybe it's coming
through our, well, it's coming through our interface.
Yeah.
So we're not going to hear the output of it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Can you hear us now? Is that better?
Yeah, but it's bad. It's like really.
Is it bad now?
Yeah, totally.
It's got to be the connection.
Whenever you guys talk, it buzzes along with it.
All right, can you hear us now?
Only when it's picking up noise that it makes this weird noise.
Hold on. What about now? Still?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All of a sudden.
I don't want this podcast going to shit.
What if we just use our microphone from the computer?
Do that.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that. So let's just, all right, here.
Okay.
All right, can you hear us now?
Oh, it's actually way better.
Damn, sorry for everybody listening.
Yeah, it was murder for a minute, man.
We had to use
we need our sound guy over here.
Yeah.
He's playing Warzone right now.
Is he? Yeah, like from the time that it was it started doing that, it was bearable, and then when you dropped it, it became unbearable.
Okay.
So all right. Don't worry about it.
We're back now, everybody. Thank you for putting up with us.
I remember speaking on like something like that. I remember being, well, we played this show at Mount Winery.
Yeah.
It was with UB40. We had no clue we were going to play this show.
That's right.
We had no clue we were going to play this show, and it was such a blessing. You know what I mean? And we didn't know until like the day before. It was kind of like, are we playing it? Are we not playing it? Are we playing it? Are we not playing it? So the night before.
Tell those, hey, do me a favor real quick. Tell those guys to be quiet in the back.
Oh, sorry. Is it AJ? He's probably taking a shit.
No, when they're talking back there, whatever, I can hear them. Sorry. Just tell them to shut the fuck up while we're doing this. Oh, yeah, that's right. The things on. Yeah. Hey, you guys, be quiet for a minute. Let these guys do their podcast.
No. So what had happened is that I remember it was – I start off the set with, like, this little intro thing, and it was coming down to the – right when we were playing the UB40 show, it was right before we were going on. I had a whole bunch of stuff going on through my head.
And the show was sold out, yeah?
It was sold out. And I remember I started playing
but I was supposed to be doing something else. And I remember I fucking thought and I fucked up. And I remember the lady in front of me, I can hear her look over at her husband. She's like, he must be really nervous. I'm like, so the whole show, oh yeah. We were like, oh, I was like, all right, that, but that gave me the drive. I was like, fuck, you know what I mean? I was like, hey, just breathe it out. And this is a natural state. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, were you taking in, dude, I've never felt.
It was just me on, like, it's just me walking out doing it.
It's like a minute.
But right. I walked out doing it, but I should have been at a certain place doing it.
Right. So
when I thought about it, I fucked up.
Okay.
I skipped a little note, and then as soon as I skipped the note, the lady, she was like, he must be really nervous. And I heard her say that, and I was like, oh. All right. I was like, well, here we go.
Wow.
Well, you about to go on a roller coaster ride because we, you know what I mean? So, but it just, you know what I mean? And you just thrive off the audience, you know what I mean? And even if it's some people don't agree with what you do or whatever, it's, you know what I mean?
You just got to keep rolling, bro. You just got to keep rolling.
Yeah.
Lighting situations are funny.
Yeah. I'm not so much as worried about the lighting as I was the sound. The sound's good now. I've never really been that envious of people doing music in the way of like, dang, I wish I was there. I mean, I envy musicians because you guys play music, but I get the same thing out of what I do that you guys do. Yeah. So I've never been like, I wish that I could do that. But when I saw the post from that show, I was like, God, I wish I was there. Fuck, I wish I had that audience, man. That looked amazing.
I actually got told that we could call one person, and I was like, you know what I mean, man? We should just call you up, man. I know you're in the Bay. I was like, just come out.
Yeah, I would have gone. I would have definitely have gone backstage. Tell me about that, because you guys didn't know you were going to be playing for UB40 2 days before that, right?
No, it was less than 24 hours notice, I think.
We were playing another show at the Catalyst the night before we played for Steel Pulse.
And so
it was the night before Steel Pulse.
Yeah.
So it was a little over 24 hours notice, but it was still a day's notice, right?
And so you're playing for Steel Pulse and you're already like, this is fucking rad.
These are UK legends and reggae music.
Right.
You know, and then that Thursday, our sound guy and engineer, Silver, shout out to him.
Love you, brother.
He said, hey, I got a slot for direct support, not opener, for direct support for UB40.
What does that mean, direct support?
It means so
there's nobody else.
So there's a, you know how there's an opener and then there's like a
middle guy,
the
middle
like a feature
guy, a feature, and then there's the headliner.
Right.
So for us,
two bands on the bill.
Yeah.
So us and UB40, direct support.
So in like in a three band lineup, it would be the opener, the co-headliner, and then the headliner.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys are basically co-headliners.
Yeah, us and UB40.
Wow.
Yeah. We had to do 45 minutes, and we had that. We had it on lock for sure, but we were just like, oh, fuck. We got nerfed. I think it took us longer to say yes because we didn't believe him.
Yeah.
We're like, wait a minute. Hold on. So you're saying, so, you know, can you send that, you know, And we said, yeah, fuck yeah, send it. So then I think I was nervous at Steel Pulse because the next day, yeah, like it carried over. It was just weird, but you know. And then when we got to Mount Winery, I absolutely shit my pants, and I couldn't. I'm like, this is the biggest venue I've ever performed in front of. Like,
and you guys got a great reaction from the crowd,
dude. Great reception, dude. And we
even had a standing ovation, and the lady in her wheelchair stood up.
Yeah, the one that told him, I think he's nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, she stood up. Yeah.
He's like, fuck it, I'm faking.
That was for me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
I paid it back. You know what I mean?
It was great, man. Yeah, it was amazing, dude. And
it was such a humbling experience to be there. Because the last time I actually was at the Mountain Winery,
right,
I was sitting in the seats watching UB40.
How is that? Whoa.
Yeah.
How is that? That's the thing, man. Is like, I never had the great, because I wasn't into comedy before I got into comedy. Yeah. So it wasn't my thing. So I But I do remember watching Rob Schimmel, who was one of my favorite comedians, rest in peace. I do remember watching Louis Black. I remember watching Paul Rodriguez. I remember going, and then I did see George Lopez perform twice.
Nice.
Okay. And that was the thing, man. It was like, I remember being like in the theater for the first time, looking out at the audience and looking up at a seat that I was sitting at a year before.
Right.
And I was like, this is crazy. If you would have told me that I'd be here a year later, I'd fucking punch you in the face for lying. And I'd punch you in the face for saying I was going to do a fucking, I was going to be a comic, actually. Like, I never wanted that.
I remember you taking me to a comedy show somewhere, I don't know where the fuck it was, at Campbell or something.
At the pizza parlor.
The pizza parlor, homeboys in the wheelchair.
Yeah,
you went on right, bro, and you had that. What, it was like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
there was like 10 people there, and dude was like, "Oh, like it was this comedy show." Oh, what was it? He's like, "I was probably 10."
Yeah, you're like 13 or 14, bro. Then I got you. We went to go see Fluffy.
Yeah, I remember that too, Salinas.
You guys corrupting Boomer at a young age.
Yeah, I got Boomer on the fucking Fluffy bus, bro. I got him on Gabriel Iglesias tour bus.
Yeah, you did some shows with him, right? Or was that?
I did one show with him a while back, for like something. But that was, I just had a friend who was on the tour who got me and Boomer in.
Right.
And I got in the back. It's like, this is gonna be great, dude. You're gonna see the tour bus. And it's like, dude, do you know how so many hoes on? Dude, hoes. No, motherfucker was cooking a fucking grilled cheese sandwich in the microwave with some peanut, putting peanut butter and jelly in a sandwich, getting ready to go to bed, dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude. Like, it was like, ah, dude. It was even disappointing for me, you know. What?
That was at the Fox Theater.
I think one of my best, the shows I've ever been to in a long time for comedy. I think it was a while. So the first time I actually went to a stand-up show was to go see Fluffy, you know? So it wasn't until recent, like maybe 6 years ago, that I started getting into comedy, you know?
Oh, wow, dude.
Yeah. So, but the thing with that, it's gotta be more than that. Cause I was talking to you for a few years already. We're playing Xbox together, right?
Like 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, so yeah, it was about six, seven years, right? Give or take. Yeah. And my ex at the time, her sister, she was in the army. So they, you know, they always give them free tickets to whatever events, you know, whatever they can redeem. And one of them was a show at the Improv. But it was with Amir K, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Amir K, and I'm like, okay. And it said, he was on Matt TV, and I'm like, well, I only remember like the Michael McDonald and Bobby Lee era of Matt TV, right?
Right. Yeah, dude. That's a hard era to beat, though.
Yeah, you can't beat Michael McDonald. He's hilarious.
Right. And Bobby Lee is.
Bobby Lee's dude's been putting in work, man. But so I went to go see him, but it wasn't Amir K that I fucking fell in love with, dude. It was, and you know him, it was Mark Smalls.
Oh, dude, yeah, shout out to Mark.
I think it was this one dude that opened up, and he was another Indian dude, right?
Right.
But then Mark Smalls came up and just fucking killed it.
Bobby.
And I love this guy, dude. Mark is probably...
Yeah, dude.
He's one of my favorites, right? I mean, like, I follow him, you know, I've messaged him, dude, like, I saw you open for Amir K, and he responded, dude, and I kind of, you know, I was like,
Shout out to Mark. Well, that's one of my favorite. I love
Mark's, dude. He was way funnier than Amir K, and Amir K ended up doing a little bit, you know, it's probably common to go on more than your set time, you know, if you're headliner.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Crushed it, dude. He was probably the best act that whole night. And I right away followed him. I started following his comedy. He puts up, you know, clips of him up, you know, before all this shit happened.
Do you ever play Warzone with him?
I'm not good enough.
He'll play, you don't give a fuck. He'll play with you.
I'm not good enough with him, dude. He'll probably carry me, and that's fine.
Do you watch his channel at all?
I've seen a couple streams, but I don't on Twitch, but I don't necessarily.
He plays with Bobby Lee every once in a while.
That's dope, dude. Yeah, Bobby Lee's, you know, I love Bobby. You know, Bobby Lee's hilarious, you know, but the Mark Small, dude, I think that guy, you know, you and him, and I mentioned him to you, and then you were kind of like, you know, surprised that I had mentioned him. And I was like, well, yeah, no, I saw this guy with Amir K, and you're like, you're like, dude, Mark is like one of my boys. And I was like, what the fuck? That's nuts.
Yeah, that's one of my home homies, bro. That's one of my good friends.
And I watched, and I listened to the Pier 69 podcast that he does with Andrew dude. I forget what his last name
is. With Andrew and Dawood. And
Yeah. It was those guys, dude. And it's just, it's so fucking, it's great, dude. So I just followed everything he did, you know, just like, I, you know, I follow you, not to kiss your ass, but I follow your podcast.
I appreciate that.
I do, you know, the YouTube channel and stuff, but I mean, it's holy shit, dude. It was just, it was amazing. So shout out to Mark Smalls. I've talked about him way too long now.
No, it's good. He is, I can't, you know what, to be honest with you, I can't talk about that guy enough. I love that.
Funny, dude. He's
I love that kid, bro. I love him. And, I got to watch him. I got to watch him grow, and there was a point where I was like, bro, you have it.
He does.
And so he's fun to watch, bro. And the thing is, dude, is great human being, good person, terrible person to play with when you're bad at video games.
That's why I'm bad at Warzone. Yeah. I can never play with him.
Because you, it's almost like a badge of honor to get scorned by Mark Smalls on either PUBG or fucking Warzone. Because around the comedy video game campfire, people go, like some guys are like, I just had to get off, man, because I can't let no one talk to me like that.
Bro, I hear it all the time from this guy right here when we play pub and. And I just, you know, I'm always the first one to die.
Me and Butch played on PUBG. Took that first, bruh.
That's right. What do you play? You still playing Warzone or PUBG?
Plunder on Call of Duty now. But I honestly, dude, I've been, I've been spending time with my lady and just trying to, like, you know, better myself as a person.
Married now.
But I'm.
There goes the music career, bro.
I'm working on myself. And
just go ahead and, hey, bro, just stand up and go now, bro. You're done. I'm fucking with you.
But she actually, she gets down on some Call of Duty, too. I've got her Call of Duty in a headset, but she never uses it. So
damn, bro.
She does, but, you know, she'll play video games when she wants to, and that's okay. I'm not going to tell her, hey, hop on, because she'll be the first one to die. I can't have that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't play with you guys, because I'll die too.
Yeah,
no, I'm not good.
To the Caribbean. What do you play? Pirates of the Caribbean?
Lately I've been playing Apex Legends.
Oh, that's just, okay.
There you go.
Apex is pretty good. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah, I get that there's a lot of guys that play Warzone don't like Apex, and guys that play Apex don't like Warzone.
It's all the same shit.
It's all the same. I like the whole fantasy aspect, and then you get to pick your legend, and you get all these cool different tools. I've probably dropped a couple $100. I spent fucking 2 hours this morning talking to EA because I bought fucking Apex coins and it didn't show up on my thing. And I was like, dude, I was yelling at the guy, and I'm like,
you can't be yelling at essential workers,
bro. Nah, I don't give a fuck, bro. He's in his house. You can hear him cooking, bro. You can hear this motherfucker cooking. You know what I mean? Like, essential worker, my ass. If you can work from home, you're not. Hey, bro, you're like me. Okay, you're doing what I'm doing, homie. And so he's out there, you know, and he's cooking, and he's like, kind of like, you can tell he's like 25, and he's explaining to me how to fucking do, like, because I got his copy, and paste and copy my fucking all the shit, my bank account stuff and everything. And I got to enter into this fucking portal and this fucking website, whatever the fuck, you know? And I go, hey, dude. He starts getting frustrated with me because I'm all, look, bro, I'm a 44-year-old fucking man. You know, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, dude. Like, you got to walk me through. You got to hold my hand, bro. Like, you know, and, like, we're arguing. We're both arguing with each other. And then I start laughing because I'm like, this is $40 worth of Apex. I'm fighting with this dude over video game money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, and I'm yelling, I'm like, listen, you said that, like, Apex coins were worth this much, and then you guys gave me this much Apex coins. And I'm like, dude, like, anybody walking by would be like, hey, what's going on? what's these Apex coins I can hear about? It's like Bitcoin or so? It's like, no, it's video game money.
It's currency.
It's content.
It's like, yeah, it's like Bitcoin, but except it's Apex only.
And it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing to nobody. It's yeah. Worth
hours of your time.
I just want to look good when I kill somebody, okay? Like,
yeah. Not I need to have, hey, bro, I need to have that new skin, homie. And I can't get that if you don't fucking unblock my shit.
Yeah, dude, I just bought Call of Duty points the other day. And my dumbass, because the first time I purchased them, it took me right back to the homepage. And I was like, what the fuck? So I waited a day. And then I, the thing is, it kicks in later.
For yeah.
Right? So, and I bought them again.
Bought $80.
No, I bought $20 worth of fucking coins. So now I have like 5,000 coins.
Yep, I've done that.
You know what? I think I'm set for the next game.
You know what Xbox does? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little life pro tip or whatever the fuck. Xbox gives you one unarguable refund every year. Okay? And I know that. And the other night, I got really high. And this is why I had to argue with them today.
Butch is saying Xbox gives you one unarguable refund every year.
Every year.
Warzone right now.
Okay? So I went and I bought like, I don't know, bro, like $150 worth of Apex coins, right? And like, that's a gamble, bro, because sometimes they're like, hey, go fuck your mother, right? But but I hit him up and I blamed it on my kid. I was like, my son and his buddy were playing and his buddy convinced him that he could buy all those points and it wouldn't cost anything. And I didn't know that until I got home and I looked at my bank account. So I already had that, bro. So imagine what a dick I feel like arguing with this guy over.
Imagine him listening to you right now. He's like, that son of
a. No, God. I told him about it. I told him about it. I was like, look, at the end, because we were cool at the end. We were both laughing because I stopped and I started laughing. He goes, what's so funny? He's mad. And I go, and we weren't, yeah, I wasn't like, you fucking piece of shit, like a fucking white dude. You know what I mean? I was like,
in a concerned tone. You're like,
I was like, listen, bro, I'm not computer savvy like you, buddy. You know, I was like that. And like, I start laughing. He goes, what's so funny? And I go, bro, I'm about to have a heart attack over this shit. And it's video game coins. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm 43, dog, 44. I don't even know how old I am. You know what I mean? But I'm an old man, dude. And that's the thing is when I go and buy video games at the store, like, I know they're like, is this for your kid? And I'm like, no, he doesn't play video. Like, Bobby plays like two video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the one who does all the fighting. But yeah, just so you guys know, rack up the dollars, dude. And then you just go, hey. These kids are fucking up my shit.
Dude, oh, you know what? Well, I don't have kids, so
you don't need to. You just
you don't need. They're not like going to be. They're not going to be like, oh yeah, put your kids on the phone.
Yeah, that
and you're like, hi, this is little AJ.
Yeah, I do. I got a social security.
He doesn't even have a social security number.
I might.
Somebody else's.
Are you from another country or something?
No, where's my social?
What are you, a DACA officiate or whatever recipient?
I don't have it. Hold on.
How do you not have a social security number, bro?
Give me a second, dude. Native Americans. Oh, I do. It's sauce real quick.
See? Damn, don't do that, bro. I got to block that out.
It's all right, dude. Not the first time.
It's not even his anyway, so.
Okay. I also have a Spencer's.
All right, this is where the podcast winds down. We're going through AJ's wallet.
Actually, it does not, because I actually was going to talk to you about this. So I know recently – you know, so what does it take to put on a Zoom show for comics? So how does it work? Because I've heard, you know, Joey Diaz talk about it. And he said, if you're thinking of doing a Zoom show, just fucking shoot yourself in the foot. Because he said he praises that they don't work. And I'm only saying that because that's what I hear.
No, it's all good. There's definitely a divide.
What do you make of Zoom shows? How does it work? What happens exactly?
Is
it
okay, just, so when I first started Zooming... When I first started Zooming, I did the DNA show, and I talked about this with DNA on the last podcast with him, or on the podcast before, and nobody knew what to expect. This was like the first 2 weeks or something like that. So I'm in my car, I got my phone up, you know, and I'm talking, and they make everybody mute so we can't hear any of the noise coming from the other people. And which is, sounds nice. That sounds acceptable, right? But what it did was it was like talking into or talking to a wall, okay? And I was no laughter, and I didn't know where I was going, and I felt like I was bombing, and then I kind of lost my shit, and like I hated it.
So
I was like, I'm never doing this again. This was a bad idea because there is a divide. It's not like a fight, but it's more like just a half and half. Yeah, there's guys that are like, I ain't gonna fucking do Zoom, and there's guys that are like, let's do Zoom. So then I got offered to do a show called the Setup as a guy named Richard Cervate. And Ab Hay run that shit. And shout out to those dudes. They run one of the best shows in San Francisco. They run one of the best Zoom shows online. And I know this now because I said yes because I love them. And I can't say no to those guys. And I go, fuck, I hate myself for doing this. And then I got on. And this is weeks later when this thing had somewhat evolved. And so I think it was Ab Hay. No, or maybe it was Richard. Richard gets up there and goes, hey, everybody. All right, we're going to kick off the show. We're going to do this thing. Do me a favor. Everybody unmute your boxes, okay? We want to hear you laugh. And then also know that we're going to mute you at times and we're going to unmute you at times. So if you got residual noise, like your refrigerator's chirping or your fucking kids are yelling, we're going to mute you, but we'll maybe unmute you later because we'd rather hear your laughter than not. And so what is happening now is they have a moderator in the back or someone who just hits the mute button on people making residual noise, but leaving people who are laughing unmuted. So we did this show. A bunch of comics did well. There's a guy named Stephen Fury on there who did really well. He killed it. And I could hear people laughing. And it wasn't exactly the same as being in a room full of people, but it was as close as we can get to it, and it was rad. And then I went up, and I bombed. I bombed so bad that Richard had to be like, hey, you guys, Butch is usually – he's one of our best comics in our live club. But
– out at the sports tavern.
Yeah, but I – you know, what happened is I learned right away, oh, there's a thing to this. There's a learning to it. And then I talked to a guy named Sammy Obade, who is the last podcast I did. And here's the thing that Sammy told me, man, because Sammy has a great, he has one of the best two Zoom shows. And he goes, this isn't doing stand-up. It's you having fun with your fans and your following. So make it about that. Talk to them, you know, like, you know, talk about the situation. Talk about what's going on. Like, you know, and so I did that. And we did the two story shows, and those were rad. And then I started doing comedy shows, and those were fucking rad. And the thing is that you have to learn how to write jokes through a Zoom show just the way you had to learn how to write jokes before you got on stage. Now, no, it's not anywhere near as fun as doing a live show, but it's still fun, and I still enjoy it, and I still love interacting with people. And there's moments that I've had that were almost just as fun as being on stage.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, man, is I'm an artist. And just because you're an artist doesn't mean, you know, like if I give you paint in four walls and I go, you're an artist, you're gonna create whatever you want on those four walls. But what happens when I take those four walls and I put something different in front of you? You're gonna paint that as well. You see what I'm saying? So like it's up to us as creators in this time to not sit there and go, meh, I'm not gonna, you know, I love Joey, man. I love Joey. So I'm not trying to talk bad about him. And maybe if I was at Joey status and I had all that money and I didn't have to fucking do anything with my life, you know, outside of just sitting there.
It would make more sense to say, oh, fuck Zoom show.
Yeah, Joey's got, like, no offense to Joey, you know, and I love him. And
he's my all-time favorite right
he's
now.
He's my, dude, he's my all-time favorite. But Joey can afford to sit at home and do what he does. And I don't know what Joey's going through Joey's mind, but I can't. I have to create. Right. I have to create. And you know, and a long time ago, because there is a group of us that go, I'm only a stand-up comedian. And then there's a group of us that go, I'm an entertainer. And I used to tell people, go be an entertainer because this isn't for you. You know, like, to me, being an entertainer was an insult.
And then
but,
being comedian is giving up a fucking job, even if it's for a 3-day run to go
right
10-minute set, 5-minute
set. I'm a comic. I used to be like, I'm a comic all day, bro. Like a cowboy is like, I ride alone. You know what I mean? And I'm a stand up. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm a stand up. I am a stand up. That's my first job, but I am an entertainer because I do acting. I do podcasts. I do commercials.
TV spots. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an entertainer. And I'll tell you why I prefer that, because I love making people laugh. I love making people feel good. I love creating. And that was the thing, man, is that I had to decide that I wanted to be, I had to decide to be an entertainer. And because I started doing YouTubes, and that's how you become an entertainer, is because you got to do something different than what you're doing to make the bills, you know, to bring in the bills. And right. So like, you know, I started doing YouTubes with Ian Kung, and we started making these videos, and I started putting them up. So I'm an entertainer. Now my heart is comedy. I'll stay in comedy till the day I die. I could quit YouTube. I could quit acting. I could quit all that, but you're never going to get me to quit doing stand-up, you know? So I love what I do, but you know, I got to forge a new way. And so doing this podcast, making videos, you know, like, doing whatever I can to not just make money, to not just make people feel good and laugh, but to also keep my sanity.
Yeah. Right. It's therapy. It's different ways. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this never would have happened. Do you think all these things would have been going on? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, shows and
hey, bro, this if this wouldn't happen, we wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't have this podcast. I'd still be talking about doing a podcast.
And look at, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it's how you're going to take it. How are you going to ride that wave? Yeah, it's a fucking shitty wave, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, no, you know what I mean? Hey, well, I did ride, you know what I mean? It's opening different doors that would have probably never been there.
Right.
Like doing live streams, like that, we would have probably, you know what I mean?
It
like,
fucking sucks. I'll like, tell you yeah, that because but you don't it's have
the
same people. Way.
You don't have but. People. You can't ride the audience. You don't know. There's nobody clapping.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? So for you, I'm sure it's even weirder because you thrive off a laughing audience because you're good at making people laugh.
So right. You so know,
it's like you, it's kind of a weird, but it's like, but now you're going through it and it, we're all going through, it's like we're adapting to what the time is now.
Right.
We don't know what the fuck's going on still, man. You know, like as far right. as entertainment, we're still trying to figure out, okay, people are saying everybody's living in the new normal, but nobody's considering those that go on stage. Nobody's considering, you know, the people that make a living by
entertainment. Going
entertainment. You know, they're saying the new normal right. is going out wearing a mask. Great, you know, essential workers, you're in the office, you're in the cubicle, that's awesome too, you know, like, you know, do what you got to do to support yourself and your family. But you know, a lot, the thing that kind of, it's like, you know, you don't gotta, you can't go to the movies anymore, you can't,
well, no movies are gonna be being made.
Yeah, you can't you can't go to the San Jose Improv and fucking catch Butch and Mark Smalls anymore. You know, you can't right. you can't go to a show and catch fucking and catch UB40 or Steel Pulsing. You know, like, it's
all changing,
you know. So
but do you give up at that point and just walk away, or do you go, well,
no,
I can't do that?
I think right away we thought about, okay, right away, even, you know, Boer was saying, like, he goes, right away, bands are going to live stream. He goes, that's first thing.
Is what
Matt says. So live streaming is the first thing. And I'm like, you know what? Like, and I, for music, I said, makes sense. It's just going to be us playing music. People are going to comment, oh my God, you guys are fucking great. But then I thought about comics. I thought about you, Butch.
Thank you.
I thought about you. And then when I heard your podcast, DNA, that kind of hit close to home because, I mean, I got in a little depression too when I found out we weren't going to be playing any shows anymore, because it's like, yeah, like, I'm there. I'm at practice with my bandmates and I'm happy. But where I'm happiest is when I'm playing in front of people at shows.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
To have not that connection. And the camaraderie between you and your fans, you know, and we actually love to sit, to, you know, to go, and the fans will be like, hey, come smoke a joint, or hey, come take a shot with us. We love connecting with them, and we'll go, fuck yeah, you know. And then we'll talk to them like, yo, you play Xbox? Cause we're about to play. Yeah. We're about to play some tonight when we get home.
Disappear.
Yeah.
We'll
go. We want to hang out with the, hey, we're going to hang out.
But then again, we're not, you know, we're not.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way, you guys.
I don't see this as a big deal, man. You know, so yeah, we go out, we hang out. So then people are like, hey, come take a shot. Yo, let's go smoke a joint out back. We're like, okay.
Oh, you play Xbox? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Xbox. Okay. So we're going to go smoke a joint first. We're going to go take a shot. And then we'll talk about, we'll game it later tonight because, you know, I'm, you know, the freaks come out at 2 a.m. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So the thing is,
guilty as charged.
So I miss that, and I can't do that anymore, Butch. And it honestly, it made me sad. But I mean, I don't want to, you know, make it seem like you're going through like a super hard time.
Anyway. No, I'm not. I'm not. You want to know why I'm not?
Hold on. You're going through it, and when I heard the way you were going through it, even though you had Bobby, you know, great kid, fucking takes right after you, dude. That kid's so
funny. Yeah, he's good.
That kid's hilarious, dude. And when I heard that what you were going through and how you felt at your age today when you had Bobby, you know, I don't know if I want to bring it up, but, you know.
No, go for it.
You had mentioned something about, you know, like you don't even know if you want to be around anymore. You know?
Yeah, and yeah.
That made me really sad. I was at work. I was listening to it, and I was like, what the – I had to pause it for a little
bit. You said you didn't want to do comedy anymore either.
Yeah, I put on my music for a little bit. I had to kind of, like, think about it. And I was like, dude, I was like, there's no – I'm like, I had depression, but not as bad as that. And, you know, and I was like, you know what? There's got to be a light to this. And what made me kind of – what gave me hope was, like, you know, you're out here doing shit even though – whether it's working or not, or, you know, you're doing things yourself, you know, you're creating content.
And it's keeping me alive.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it's like, you know what? The more we go to practice, whether even if it's just to write music and stuff, like, or, you know, even if we do little live streams and stuff, it keeps us alive. So, shit, man, it's been rough, dude. You know,
it's a drive.
I couldn't have related anymore. But then again, to a certain extent, because I didn't know how bad it affected you as a person.
Yeah.
And you're the only comedian I know that
I love you guys. I appreciate that. I do.
You're the only comedian I know that spoke on that matter, you know, as far as like the psychological and emotional effects.
Everybody's speaking on just other, you know, nobody's speaking the true, you know what I mean? How it is like.
Oh, yeah, I feel for these guys, man. I'm worried about my friends. I am, because I'm all artists come from fucked up places. So I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody, but comics.
No, we all do, but just you were the only one that spoke up that I follow. And
comics particularly are damaged humans. A lot of us are. Right. And I know a great many of us who are doing this even like before the pandemic are doing this just to stay alive. I can't tell you how many guys I know that are like, dude, this is how I don't kill myself. Yeah. And like that's worries me right now, because, and that's what I'm trying to do. The thing for me is, man, I'm doing my best to survive every day for simply because I have that wonderful little person in my life.
Bobby's amazing, dude.
Yeah, and he's worth every moment of life.
Yeah. He's a moment now. They're all hanging out right now, by the way.
What's that?
They're all hanging out, by the way.
They're at Boomer's house.
With my mom, or I don't know where they're at.
Oh, yeah. No, he's with me. He's going back on Thursday.
Oh,
he's with you. But he's...
Your mom lied to you.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, your sister's with your mom and everything else, right? Like that. Is that what you're saying?
Bobby was with her.
No. No, he's guy got him. As long as I, and that's the thing, man, is
come say hi.
Hey B, come here real quick.
Yeah, we want to say what's up to that man,
dude. Come here.
Hey dude, he was talking just shit straight up.
Here.
First time.
Come here, speak your head in here. Move that out of the way.
Come on, Bobby.
Come here.
Oh,
hey.
What up, Bobby?
He said, what's up, Bobby?
Hi.
All right.
Tell him, keep it up, whatever he's doing. Keep it up.
Keep it up, whatever you're doing, bro. You know what he's doing? He's relaxed. He's still in bed, bro.
Hey, even better.
Even better.
But, Butch, I just want to say, man, you are right now. I mean, I know there's a lot of people working hard, you know, as far as comedy, but somebody that I personally know and that I follow, and you're the only one I see, you know, next to like other people putting out, I mean, other comedians, they put out podcasts, but we're talking like Diaz and we're talking Rogue, whatever, you know,
but right.
You're the only hardest, you're like one of the hardest working ones that I know right now that's doing that. And to keep, you know, to make sure Bobby's taken care of, man, that, you know, that's amazing, dude. And, you know, and it's all for him, and you know, and it's amazing. It's beautiful, man.
It is.
To support you. You know, I love, you know, I try to support you in any way I can, dude. And
I appreciate that.
You're also one of my favorite comics, not just because I know you.
Thank you.
Because you, I was skeptical about you until you performed that night in Salinas.
I would have been too.
And well, because, dude, I don't.
Yeah, your homies, bro, is a comic. Yeah, okay, bro, mine too.
Yeah. And my brother-in-law's a comic. Like, you want to come hang? We're gonna go to the sports tavern.
Right. Exactly.
Honestly, yeah. He goes, your first two drinks are on me. Come out, and I said, I'm gonna get drunk.
Yeah, if anything, I'll get a drink out of this.
Comic, no. Bomb for 5 minutes.
Hey, no offense, bro. That's exactly how I felt when I went to go see you guys. I was like, I had to convince Becca. I was like, it's like, he's like my little brother, dude.
I gotta,
like,
go support him and clap.
Gotta go support him and clap for him, dude. He's, you know, like, and like, so she was like, yeah, let's go. And we were both like, this is the best show ever.
So much fun, bro.
Yeah, dude. I'm equally a fan of yours as you are mine. And I appreciate that.
I just want to say, man, you're the content. And I'm sorry this last one wasn't, there was a little bit of difficulties with the last Zoom show, but.
No, it's all good. I'll get it cleaned up.
I'm looking forward to you doing the next one, and I want to be there. Whether, I mean, I hope it's recorded, because a lot of the times I just want it so I can, it's like a DVR thing. Just send it.
Yeah,
to
I'll
me.
Probably record the next one.
Yeah, record it and send it to those who paid.
Right.
But yeah, dude, it's, you know, I just, it's awesome, man, what you're doing, and it's
Thank
great.
You. Yeah, man. You know what? That's the thing right now, is I'm going to give a shout out to every comic and every artist out there. It's not easy right now. It's not easy. And I just got to say, you know, if you're out there, you're listening to this, you're a comic, you're a musician, you're an artist, whatever you are. Just know that you, my dad used to say, you're always okay until you're not going to be okay. And then when you're not okay, you're probably dead. So it doesn't fucking matter anyway. Okay. And so I'm going to say this, things are going to be okay. Things are going to go back to normal.
I hope so.
Maybe a different normal, but things are going to go back to normal. We're going to have live entertainment, but please don't give up on yourselves. Don't give up on what you're doing. Don't give up on your dreams. Take this as a cue from life to redirect and explore yourself further, because I'm not kidding about how I didn't want to be in this world after that happened.
I know.
But I'm going to tell you what happened to me next. I mourned the loss of comedy. I pushed forward. I decided I'm going to go and take this money, this government sweet fucking beautiful money, and I'm going to buy a light. I'm going to buy a camera. I'm going to buy a computer. I'm going to buy a microphone. And I'm going to buy the equipment that I need to get back to doing what I love doing most, and that's entertaining people and creating. And so allow this time to reinvent yourself. Allow this time to explore a different part of you. Mark Smalls is playing video games and he's killing it on Twitch right now.
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you. Honey Boy ain't killing shit over here, I'll tell you what.
So that's the thing, is you gotta reinvent yourself. In order to stay sane, things are going to go back to normal. And just, you know, stay up, man. Find your way. My dad used to say this all the time. If you can't change your situation, find a way to change your mind away on the situation. You know, basically wrap your head around what's going on. And so hang in there. Things are going to be okay. Hey, I love you guys for coming out. I appreciate you guys being on my show. I'm gonna throw this up today. Tomorrow is my next one, so that means the Wednesday after this is when it's gonna go up. I'll give you guys all the promotional stuff to throw it up there, all that stuff. I appreciate you guys being on my show, man. I love you guys. Matt Boer, AJ Aguayo, Fucking love you guys so much, dude. You guys are the best, dude. Pack roots all day, bro. I'll see you guys out there, huh?
All right, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
All right.